glories of Vaishak month, and also Balaram's Rath Yatra. There's three very important months every year for accumulating punyafal, pious merit. In these particular months, if you do different activities, you greatly please the Lord by these activities. And because of the Lord's pleasure, then he blesses the individual with purity of heart, freedom from sin, and attachment to God. The 3 months are the beginning of the year is Magh Mas. That's when we have Kumbh Mela. It's in Magh Mas. Makar Sankranti, Moni Amavasya. These are big bathing days in the Triveni and Lalabad. And throughout the Puranas, Skanda Puran, Garuda Puran, Padma Puran, Adi Varaha Puran, other Puranas, they describe all these different Mahimas, the Vaishak Mas Mahima, Magh Mas Mahima, Kartik Mahina, or Kartik Mas Mahima, the glories of these different months. So this is Vaishak month. And of course it's important for us because Nrisimhadeva appeared in this month. Rupa Goswami explains in Lagva Bhagavatamrita that Nrisimhadeva, Ram, and Krishna are the three supreme forms of Godhead. But they're manifesting different percentages of Godhead. So the full 100% manifestation of Vishnu Tattva or Godhead is Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, or Krishna and Vrindavan rather, Vrindavan Krishna. All the rasa, all the tattva, all the siddhanta, everything is fully manifest in Krishna, Rasaraj. He reciprocates with all kinds of devotees. He liberates anyone he kills. He is supreme God of love. And so he's considered to be the fullest manifestation of Godhood. He plays a flute, he has friends, he has mother and father, all different relationships, all the rasas are there. But when you have Ram, then you have mother and father, you have friends. But you don't have Parakiya Bhav. Parakiya Bhav means to have a wife and have girlfriends also. So that's quite an unusual situation. Because Ram is God bound by rules and regulations. He's God showing the path of Maryad. Maryada God. Maryada Bhagavan. But Krishna is Leela Purushottam. He's just showing Leela. Leela is not bound by rules. There's no rules. Krishna does whatever he wants. He steals, he lies, he cheats. But we don't find any incidences of Ram stealing, lying, cheating. When Ram was a kid, he'd go next door and steal butter and yogurt. We don't find these things. And Nrisimhadeva, he's the Supreme Lord, but there's somewhat, we don't find much about the Chitrakut Leela of Nrisimhadeva. There's no Banbihar for Nrisimhadeva. He's somewhat subdued. The Godhood is suppressed there. Nrisimhadeva, it's suppressed. He just appears to act as the supreme protector of his devotee and establisher of Dharma by annihilating Hiranyakashipu. But this month is the month of Balaram. Balaram came to Vrindavan during this month. And this month in Sanskrit is known as Madhusudan. Madhav and Madhusudan. Chaitra and Vaishak. It's a chapter in Bhagavad Puran. In chapter 65, it says Balaram comes to Vrindavan. Of course, Balaram came from Dwarka. And he was so much missing the residents of Vrindavan. He's thinking, oh, now it's springtime. Chaitra month. This is springtime. Chaitra. We just passed Chaitra. And Vrindavan is so beautiful. And all of my friends and relatives and associates in Vrindavan, they're remembering me. And I've been so long away from Vrindavan in Dwarka. They have been there since he left when he was about 11. And Dalji was about 11 when he left Vrindavan. He went to Mathura. He stayed 17 years in Mathura. And then he went to Dwarka and stayed 100 years. So when he came back to Vrindavan, he was about 50 years old, 60 years old. A long time. This is Dalji Balaram. So that happened. It's happening, or let's say in spiritual time, it's right now, March and April, May. Vaishak month, Chaitra and Vaishak. So I thought we'd read a little bit about the glories of this month of Vaishak from Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami. And he's saying that, he cites different Puranas. Basically, it's one of the best months to do good things. Like sometimes in the Hindi calendars, they tell, in these Panchang, they tell different days of the week or different days of a month to buy different things. This is a good day to buy chana. This is a good day to buy gold. This is a good day to buy silver. They have some kind of calculations based on nakshatras or auspicious days and stars, and that seem to influence different material elements. Because everything, the elements of our body, the elements of this earth body, are controlled and influenced by higher powers, by the devatas, ultimately by the devatas, and by the supersoul, and by Bhagavan. So therefore, there are good times and bad times to do different things. So Vaishak month, it says that it's, in brief, they say you should, it's a very good month to donate to Brahmins, to give in charity to Brahmins. And then they list the different items that you should give to Brahmins during this month. And they especially emphasize white sesame seeds. Somehow white sesame seeds are very powerful. I believe they're used in the Homa. Isn't sesame? Tilka beach? Yes. And some other thing, I don't know. They use black, I suppose. Yes. Black sesame. Black, yes. Black sesame seeds and some other grains or barley or joe or something like this. You know, they mix together.
Yes, but they make sure that they're right.
So sesame is, because I read in one Purana, they said that sesame seeds were produced from the perspiration of Lord Vishnu. They're very auspicious. You know, the perspiration, like it says that Vishnu lies down on the Nanta Shesh and then he perspires. When he's perspiring, you know, the Garbhadak ocean, it comes from his body. You know? So the perspiration of Vishnu was formed sesame seeds. They're like little drops. You know, they're like a little, you know, sesame seeds like a little drop, the white sesame seeds. Especially get sesame seeds, that's not too costly. And then it says land, I guess a little more costly. Then cows with gold-plated horns and silver-plated hoofs, that gets a little costly. Then umbrellas and shoes. But in terms of practical terms, shoes are there or umbrellas are there. White sesame seeds, and it also says white sesame seeds mixed with honey. It's very much recommended. What they'll do with those, I don't know. They could eat them, I suppose, but be good roughage. Hard to, it's pretty good for your teeth also. Chew up a bunch of sesame seeds with honey. But ghee is there. Another thing that emphasizes, especially during this month, is bathing. Because Ganga appeared in this month. Ganga appeared in this month. So they emphasize also Korma. Korma Avatar appeared in this month also. They emphasize bathing outside the house or in some holy place. You get so much benefit also. And giving sugar in charity also. Give sugar to Brahmins or cloth. And water, pots of water are also recommended. But the one thing it emphasizes is to try to bathe in a holy place, at least for, if not every day, at least for 3 days and or 5 days. And chant some mantras every day, some kind of prayer every day, like Gopal Sahasranam or Radha Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Radha, 1,000 names of Gopal, or Radha Kripa Kataksha. Munindra Vrindavandate Chiloka Shokaharani Prasana Bhaktra Pankajani Kunjabhu Vilasani Brajendra Bhano Nandani Brajendra Suna Sangate Kadakrishi Siyamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. These type of prayers. It says that one bathes early in the morning in a sacred river or outside of his house, even in a well, in a hand pump or in a well somewhere, then he gets free from all his sinful reactions. One should observe celibacy this month. That's pretty easy if you're not married. and you're chaste, or you're brahmachari. If someone does these things, they destroy even the grave sinful reactions. Mahapataganashanam. Mahapataganashanam. Prataksnanancha vaishake yagyadhanam uposhanam havishyam brahmacharyancha mahapataganashanam. By these activities, which are considered purifying, pious, religious, prataksnan means to take bath every morning, especially outside the house. It just says bathing early in the morning between 6 and 8:30, which most people do anyway. Yagya danam, performing sacrifice or yagya, giving charity, observing fasting, eating havishya rice, which is once a day. It's like a whole brat. If one bathes every day early in the morning for this month, he will be freed from all his sinful reactions. Magh month, and then we do lots of good things, then we have a break, Falgun. Then Vaishakh, we do lots of good things, then we have a break. Then it's Chaturmasya, which includes Kartik. Then after that, we have a break. We have Posh, we have Margashirsha, then Posh. And then again comes Magh, and then we have to do all kinds of good things. So Magh, 3 months a year? Let's see, 4 months and 2 months. 6 months a year you have to do good things. Magh month and Vaishakh. And Chaturmasya, right? Which includes Kartik. So 4 months of Chaturmasya to do good things. Then Vaishakh and Magh. 6 months to do good things and 6 months to do whatever. So it's 50-50. That's fair. God is meeting us halfway. Half the year you can goof off. Not really. You should always be on the mark. Always be properly situated and act correctly according to Shastra. The pious credit. Yada ananda pure proktam vasatam varsha kotibi tat pratar madave masi snenai kena labhyate. The pious credit you get by living in a holy place for varsha koti. Varsh means 10 years, I mean million years. I mean a year. Koti means a million, 10 million. If you live in a holy place for 10 million years, you can get that same punya by bathing every morning during the month of Vaishakh. I know. It's a lot of benedictions for taking a bath. It just says bathing. I guess the implication is that in a holy place. But it doesn't say that. Another thing you should do is very opulent deity worship if you have deities. One who offers very opulent worship to Madhusudana will achieve the benefit of worshiping Madhav throughout for an entire year. You get 1 year's puja credits. Like doing puja for 1 year by doing this month extra special stuff. Simply offer flowers, you'll get freed from all sinful reactions and deliver 100 generations of your forefathers. If you want to deliver them. If you bathe early in the morning, every day, you'll greatly please Lord Madhusudan. Pratak snani yamam snasye priyatam Madhusudana. There's two ways to look at it. Either you can bathe anywhere every morning during Pratakkal, which is 6 a.m. to 8:30, which most civilized people do. Most people bathe by 8:30, I suppose, isn't it? I should hope so. But then Saturday and Sunday come, and we want to lie around in bed all day, especially city folks. And then maybe we don't do a whole, so it's a big austerity every day for a whole month to bathe by six, by that time. And then there's some prayers. And of course, in this month comes Akshaya Tritiya. That's the 27th of April this year. This is when the Ganga, the Lord caused the Ganga to appear in this world. On that day, Akshaya Tritiya. And Treta Yuga starts on that day. And the Vedas were inaugurated in Treta Yuga. There's Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara, and Kali. So in Satyuga, there was no Vedas. Why is that? Now the knowledge was all there. They just had the knowledge. They're all Paramahamsas. Right? They all follow religious principles, and this speaking was going on. But the Vedas as a body of knowledge came into being. And Treta Yuga. What it says here. Treta Yugam Trityayam Shuklayam Masi Madhave Paritantra Trayi Dharma. What is the name? Actually, what it's saying, that I was just saying that in Treta Yuga, they introduced the threefold Dharma. Because in Satyuga, Vedic knowledge is always there. The Vedas are always gurus. In all the four ages, Vedic knowledge is there. But this Trivarga, Karmgan, this type of thing, this is introduced more in Treta Yuga. Three paths. Because in Satyuga, everybody was a yogi. Everybody was a mystic. No one was too much interested in karma and all these things. But and the ages evolved, people became more materialistic, so they introduced these different pathways. That's what's really being said. So Akshaya Tritiya, any pious act you do on that day, April 27th, you take a holy bath, you give charity, offer oblations, chant mantras, you'll get inexhaustible result, which means every life after life, if we do take rebirth, then we'll get benefit from whatever we did on that particular day. Generally, if you do something good today, next life you'll get that benefit, or maybe later in this life, one-time benefit. But in this, on any day, you do something good, you get some good reaction. You do something bad, you get bad reaction. But on this particular day, you get life after life, that whatever good you did on that day will come back to you. The punya follow, the follow will come, will follow you life after life. That's called akshay. Akshay means inexhaustible. And Saptami is, I think that's the Ganges appearance day. On Shukla Saptami. When it says here that if you can't observe for the whole month, then try to do for the last 3 days or 5 days. Also mentioned there. From Trayodasi, it means from this year from April, no, May. May 7th, 8th, and 9th. So if you can be in Vrindavan, that's nice during that time. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Right? You can arrange your life, your schedule, it'll be nice. Bathe in Jamuna or bathe in Radhakund or whatever. And then, because Friday is in Sringa Chaturdasi. Thursday, so this says 3 days, you stay at least, if you stay 3 days in a holy place, if you're not able to observe all these vow for a whole month, you stay 3 days in a holy place like Vrindavan and observe bathing and chanting Gopal Sahasranam or whatever, then you get a benefit for the whole month. So it's a glorious month, Vaishak. People that are living in Iran and other parts of the world and even other parts of India, they can't even think about these kind of advantages because they can't be in Vrindavan. They can't even think about arranging their life in such a way. So those that live nearby are greatly fortunate in the sense that they can actually do it. It's not hard to come to Vrindavan from Delhi. It's only a 2-hour ride. In other words, we're so busy with our lives, doing so many important things, But when opportunity comes, or opportunity knocks, as they say, we should open the door. Let in the good opportunity. Don't keep the opportunity out. So this month will pass, and then next time we get good opportunities is Kartik. This is quite a ways away. Right? So don't miss the opportunity. This Vaishak month, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's also a very important month to worship Lord Shiva. Here in Radhakund at the Kundeshwar Mahadev Temple, they have a lot of puja. Every Monday they have a very elaborate puja. And they have big... One day they have snake darshan.
Snake lives in Mahadev?
It's pretty exciting. Everyone kind of looks forward to it because Shiva and Braj, they worship everyone quite elaborately. They worship Ram elaborately, Shiva elaborately, Durga and Devi elaborately, Ram elaborately, and of course, basically they worship Krishna and Radha and Krishna, or the Rishadev. But then they also honor Ram, Nomi, and all these things. And they have Ram Leelas in different villages during Kartik, Dashera. So they worship Ram with great enthusiasm, and Krishna and Radharani mostly with super great enthusiasm. And they worship Lord Shiva with great enthusiasm. And they worship Durga Devi, or Devi or Durga. These are the five deities of Braj. Today, and even 5,000 years ago, Radharani worshiped the sun god, and Krishna and his father, they worship Lakshmi Narayan. Nanda Baba worship Lakshmi Narayan in his temple, his bhavan, his house. And Chandravali, she worshiped Gauri or Durga. And then somebody would worship Lord Shiva. Not that they thought that Shiva or Ram or Durga were supreme or the absolute godheads. They understood that Krishna and Radha are the supreme, and they're Radha and Krishna worshippers. Their destination and goal is Radha and Krishna, Radha Krishna Prem. But they show all honor to these devas because they're very powerful. So this month, but it appears like by inference, we can infer that this month is very important. So one day they have snake darshan Kundeshwar Mahadev. On that day, the linga is there. Then they put a big brass cobra behind, like some temples they always have, and it's like Shankarshan over his head. And they call some snake guys, some snake charmers. They come in the temple and they bring these pythons.
Oh.
Pythons and usually pythons, not cobras. They're really long. It's like maybe 12 feet long or something. And they bring those, and they're all just crawling around on the where you take darshan. People stand on the street, they're looking at them. Then one year they had pythons, and last year they had pythons, year before they had cobras. So they had about six or eight black cobras. And they're all going like this and going like that, and everyone was like, you know, and... Because they're like at head level, because when you stand at the street at Kundeshwar, the darshan is about 4 feet high, you know, 5 feet high. Uh-huh. And the guy was there with us, they would start to come off the platform. And then people would jump back, and then the guy would have a stick and pull them back, and they would zip all around there. So that was all, because he likes those cobras. And then the next Monday, because every Monday was special darshan, next Monday was Kailash Parvat, and they get about 200, 300 kilos of cotton. All these big rolls of cotton, you buy 1 kilo, 2 kilos. Like, so then they rip it all up, and then they put it all over the walls and everything, make it look like snow. So they cover the whole walls and everything. It really looks great, actually. And then inside, they get these big ice blocks, like they sell in these tea stalls. These big blocks of ice, like 3 feet high, and then they throw colored powder on them. Mm-hmm. Little purple powder and little pink powder, like holy type powder. And then they call in some light show and stuff, and they have some lights shining behind the ice, and it looks a little purple and green, and then they play all kinds of real loud music. Har, har, Mahadev, har, har, Mahadev. Gundeshwara Mahadeva, I don't know, whatever they have all these songs. And so that's Kailash Darshan. It's really real. And then they put a fan there, and the fan is blowing from behind, and all this cold air is coming up. And then another next Monday they make like a jungle, like a kunj. They really, it's elaborate. You should sometime be here for it. On the street, because it's a village, so there's no real too many civil laws, traffic laws. So on the Parikrama Marg, which is this actual street where all the sabji is and everything, right before the Gundeshwara, about 20 feet, they have this cardboard like monster mouth, like some kind of, they make this big mouth, and it covers the whole street, and it's not like paper mache and like these big teeth coming down, and it's like so it's about 15 feet wide, 18 feet wide, and about 12 feet high. Like, it's like this big Agasura mouth, and these teeth come down like this, and they're painted gold. It's painted black and red and silver and everything. And it has the mouth comes up from the bottom and like this. And you have to, when you're walking on the Parikrama, you have to step over the bottom lip. You step over the bottom lip because it's blocking the whole road. There's no more traffic. You can't take any cars there. It's blocked. The whole road is blocked in front of Shiva Temple for the whole night, starting the evening. Then as soon as you step in that mouth, then from there, from this about 20 feet before the temple, and then all the way about 20 feet behind it, there's all little cables, and there's all vines and trees. They go rip up and cut all these trees and vines. And you go. So once you go inside the guy's mouth, it's all dark. It's all dark, and there's all these greens hanging down and everything. And then when you get to the actual temple and see Shiva, then they've arranged like sprinklers or shower heads, all kinds of shower heads from the ceiling, and there's all continuous water falling down. So it's like Shiva in the monsoon season or something like that. And it's falling over the linga and then falling on the altar. And then there's all these, and then there's these electric lights or different colors. And then it's like really a madhouse, and all these guys, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. There's all this water flying everywhere, and all these electric wires flying everywhere, and all these lights blinking everywhere. No one's getting electrocuted. that's the thing. That's the really amazing thing about that darshan. So that's called, I don't know, that's some kind of Shiva Matsun darshan. So it's quite, it's really enthusiastic. And what they, this is like summertime, and it's getting pretty hot. Oftentimes it's very hot now. So they find that right after they have this Shiva special darshan with this rain and fountains and everything, that night there's a big thunderstorm and it rains. So everyone says this is Shiva's mercy.
Yeah.
I remember, because I've been here since about 7 years on this side in Radhakund. I moved here in 2002. About 5 years ago, there was a big drought in Radhakund. It was raining in Vrindavan, but it wasn't raining in Govardhan and Radhakund. It was very, very dry. So then the Brahmins at the Sangam, we should do elaborate worship of Giriraj. And maybe it'll rain because Indra likes to throw rain on Giriraj. So then they collected money, they had a big chapan bhog offering for Giriraj. And then they made this big chapan bhog, and then they fed lots of people. And they were praying, please Giriraj, please bless us with rain, because it's no water in the fields and it's all dry and it's very too much problem. So no rain came. So then all the devout Shiva Bhakti said, let's worship Kundeshwar. So then they collected a bunch of money, and they had a big puja and all night kirtan and all these things. And then that night it rained. So all around the village, everybody is saying, Shiva's supreme! Shiva's better than Krishna. He gave us rain. Shiva's a good God. Jai Mahadev, Bam Bam Bole, Har Har Mahadev, Har Har Mahadev. So these are. So this was a kind of a very sweet challenge of the Vaishnavas and the Shaivites, because sometimes in South India it's kind of a sad history of Indian history, religious wars, as they say. That right here in India, oftentimes in the south, especially in South India, the Vaishnavas and Shaivites would go to war with each other. Because what would happen, there would be a particular area, very powerful king, and some powerful Shaivite tantric or whatever, he would go there and preach to him and show him lots of tricks, because he's a tantric. And he would do a lot of favors for that king. Give him powers to defeat his enemies and give him some big rings to wear and stuff like that. To counteract his planets and do some hocus pocus and, hocus pocus, whammy jammy and all this stuff. And get everything working for him. So he would feel, he was a Vaishnava before, a Vaishnava king, and he was patronizing all Vaishnava worship, Vishnu worship, Lakshmi Narayan worship throughout his kingdom. So then this tantra came, and he said, "Listen, I give you all these favors. Look at what have you been a Vaishnava, and you're not getting anywhere. But under my tricks and all my powers, you've made a lot of promotion and advancement, and enhance your kingdom. Now I have a request. I have some dakshin. I want you to declare this whole state as a Shaivite. That Shaivism is a national religion, and you have to close. You have to break all. Convert all these Vaishnavas to Shaivism, and take over all these temples." So then the king would say yes, and so then he would start a war on all the Vaishnavas.
Okay.
So then the Vaishnavas and Shaivites. That's why these Shaivites started carrying these trishuls and all these things. So they had battles. They actually fought battles. The kings would get Shaivite kings would get converted to become Vaishnavas. So it's part of the Indian history in South India that where there are actual wars between the Shaivites and the Vaishnavas, the worshippers of Shiva and Vishnu. They're kind of like arch enemies in South India. They were. But here in Radhakund, you see how the Vaishnavas and the Shaivites interact. There's a big drought, and we need rain, so let's worship Giriraj, who's Vishnu, Krishna. Oh, it didn't work. Okay, let's worship Shiva. Oh, it worked, we got rain. Jai Shiva. So no one's killing each other. All the Shaivites ate the Giriraj Chapan Bhog. And then all the Vaishnavas ate the Shiva's, offerings, whatever they had. So this is a very sweet harmony here in Radhakund. Because everyone understands that all the demigods and all the different avatars and expansions as described in First Canto of Bhagavatam, they're all expansions of Krishna. Krishna's ete chamsha kalapumsa Krishna's tu bhagavan swayam indra ivakalam mule brilliant yuge yuge. So this is the month Balaram came to Vrindavan. He stayed for 2 months.